It's Wednesday, 1st of September. Welcome to episode 60 of Digital Outbox. Good evening and welcome to another episode. Joining me tonight is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
And that's it for the moment. I still have vain hope that we might be interrupted by a third member.
But, if Shaq makes it, then we'll let him in.
If Shaq makes it, we'll gaily sing Return of the Shaq, which Chris mentioned in an email this morning.
Out of time and really badly. I'm never doing that again.
I want to record your video and put it on YouTube. That'll be one of those Yuma Yuma moments or whatever it was.
It was, yes, it would have been.
So, another week and another Apple keynote.
Yes, he's been on stage again.
And I've not seen any of it. I missed it tonight.
He's strutting his jean-wearing self. I think he could do an upgrade on his trainers as well. They're all looking a little bit out of date now, aren't they?
I just wonder if he bought a job lot of them.
I think he probably did. He's that ultimate, you know, he opens his wardrobe.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Exactly,
and
exactly the same thing. Even Christmas Day he's got one. But yeah, he's been out on stage talking about his new stuff. I didn't see it all because their stream, which they actually streamed live their announcements this time. And for the most part, the stream was very good, but it did keep dropping, which is a bit frustrating. So I missed some key bits.
I was amazed. I was at the local sports centre tonight and there was five of us playing badminton. So I was sitting off and I thought, I wonder if it will work. And the 3G in there is usually rubbish, but it was pixely, but it worked.
So and I saw by the sounds of it, you had a much better viewing experience than me.
Well, I watched it for about sort of maybe 4 or 5 minutes, and I watched them introduce the new Shuffle and Nanos.
Yeah, well, I'd say that's probably the biggest announcements of the day. Anyway, so he got on and obviously he talked about his normal stuff of they're selling lots of stuff. Lots of people are downloading stuff, and on the busiest days they get a million people through their stores. And he was quite proud of his new stores and all the
physical stores, that is.
Yes, that's the real life stores.
So
there's a million people, and he said most of the people going in there are actually buying Macs for the first time. So he's pretty chuffed about that. But the main announcements, this is their music event. So they've released a whole new range of their iPods, basically. We've seen the new iPod Shuffle, which now has buttons again.
Wait.
So they obviously realised that it was a step too far to remove all the buttons. So they've got all the voice and voiceover kind of and voice control, but they've put back buttons in there as well, which I think everyone was pretty pleased about. And it's smaller again. So again, another feature of everything tonight was that everything's tinier again.
I worry for my fat hands. I really do.
Yeah, and especially with the Nano. So the Nano was their next announcement, which is. They've removed the click wheel from it, and it's now a touch screen. But it's not much bigger than the old iPod Shuffle. So it's really tiny touch screen, and he even had trouble on occasion touching the wrong thing and it not doing what he wanted to do because it was.
Oh dear.
But yeah, it looks good. I mean, it's got sort of little apps on it, and it's got everything you could do before, but now done with a touch interface.
But it's not. It doesn't support apps, does it?
No, it's no. They look like apps, but it's obviously pre-installed stuff.
Yeah.
So stuff you could do before.
It's just worth mentioning, iPod Shuffle is £40, or sorry, £39.
And for a bit of kit, it's not, you know, it's good present territory, isn't it, Matt?
Oh, that's new. On the Apple website, it now actually says, includes £6 VAT duties and levies.
Right.
That's obviously them feeling the sting from everybody moaning about rip-off Britain yeah. And that they don't pass on the charges properly. And there's a little asterisk as well to take you further down to, an approximation. VAT duty and levies may vary over time.
It's still expensive for what is in effect just the most basic of basic players. But I mean, it's in that price range that no one seems to care really.
No, Nano 8GB is 129, 16GB is 159, and that includes £30 of VAT duty and levies. Spot the trend.
Yeah. So the Nano's now, so I've got this touchscreen, and then we've also seen the new iPod Touch, which is mega thin. I mean, the old one was thin. This is another percentage gain of thinness. It's got cameras front and back now, so you can take HD video, you can do FaceTime on it now. They've got the Retina display on it, and it looks like a good value way in of getting all the good bits about an iPhone, really.
It's got the HD video recording, it's got Game Center.
Yeah, which Game Center was another announcement they made. So the best way of describing Game Center is Xbox Live for your iPhone. So it's got achievements, you can send invites, you play co-op, and it's across all their different games. Or rather, developers can choose to integrate into it. Looks quite intriguing, and they had I think it was Chaos, the developer on at the show, showing off their latest game, and it was pretty impressive game for a phone for sure. So anyway, that was all very interesting. And Game Center is going to be part of iOS 4.1, which they announced that they're going to release.
Okay.
In about a week or so, I think they said.
So I guess that I'm just looking at the notices here. So you're getting Game Center with that as well.
Yes. So they didn't mention it. It did say on some of these things, not across all models. And I don't know whether it'll stretch back to the 3G.
Yeah.
Everything so far has got to 3G, but whether these latest changes do, I don't know.
And I'm also seeing, so it does HDR photos now.
Yep. So now when you take a photo, it will take three in quick succession. So HDR fashion, so one overexposed, one underexposed, and one normal exposure, and it will combine them, and you can choose whether you want to keep the HDR version.
So we can look forward to Flickr being strewn with really bad photos now.
Yeah, I mean, used properly, HDR is really, clever.
Oh no, I've taken a couple myself that I've been quite. I mean, Shaq pointed out one of them was terrible. After I thought it was really good. But there's another one that I did that a couple of folks did comment on and said that's really nice, and it was just kind of subtly done. And it is nice.
I think subtle. I looked from the demos, and obviously they're picking good versions, that it was subtly done. It wasn't the artificial. I mean, artificial HDR images are amazing to look at sometimes, but they have to be the right kind of image. This was done to sort of pick out, to stop the camera blowing out the highlights, basically. So it was.
You can do HD video upload over Wi-Fi, TV show rentals, and I also read on another site that they've fixed the proximity bug as well. I don't know if you know about
the proximity bug.
With the iPhone, and I think it was more just maybe the new operating system. You could be holding the phone, and what should happen is you should hold your phone to the ear, and it should disable the touch interface, so you can't mute your call with your ear or some bit of your head. And for some people, it was actually turning on again, and then were muting their call or ending their call accidentally.
Controlling their phone with their ear.
Yes.
Okay.
So that seemingly is fixed as well.
There you go. So no mention of the antenna. The antenna was long away, so there was no mentions of fixes or anything like that.
There was some crazy Mexican guy, and that is officially a crazy Mexican guy, who said, oh yeah, end of September, the new hardware iteration's coming out. Don't worry about the antenna problem. And I noticed a few tweets that I've caught up while we're sitting waiting tonight. I caught up in my tweets and people were like, if Apple announce a new iteration of hardware, I will be really effed off.
I have a sneaking suspicion it won't get announced.
Well, the thing is, I know so many people that keep telling me it doesn't affect them. So why are you going to be bothered if they brought out a new iteration that says, by the way, for some people you were getting an issue, this one definitely doesn't. If you're not getting the issue now, why would it bother you?
I guess it's just because you spent a lot of money on something that's now
slipping a petty arse.
Better. We were just talking beforehand. I've had a few people this week, at least three people this week, have said they're having a massive problem with their phone, just dropping calls. So there is an issue out there. Maybe it depends on location and signal strength and all sorts.
Mm.
But yeah, so there are issues out there.
Yes.
Okay, they're also at the same time they're announcing 4.1, which is out next week, they were talking about their next step, which is going to be 4.2. Now, 4.2 is predominantly in the pipeline for iPad. So they're going to bring out all the features that we have now on iOS 4.
And I guess that's like a unification. I guess that will be from then on, it'll be a whatever iOS release comes out, it'll be for all platforms.
Yeah, everyone was surprised when they were out of step anyway. But yes, so all your folders and all your multitasking and all those kind of things.
Good, good. Can't wait for that.
All coming across. And they also mentioned that they're going to do printing over Wi-Fi.
Woohoo!
So you can print from your iPad. Again, they're trying to make it as simple as possible.
It was one of the questions I was asking the plane last week. Can you print from it? And I was like, well, there's some apps you can get, but really no.
Yep. So basically that'll go into your multitask stream. You know, you select print, and that's as much as he said that you needed to do. What that'll end up meaning, we don't know at the end. But yeah, it looks pretty easy. I guess you've got to have some sort of network attached printer to do that. In fact, you'd be silly if you didn't.
Thanks for that.
That's all right. Bit of advice there. AirPlay they talked about, but seeing as AirPlay is the new name for their AirTunes, which is streaming your music collection over your Wi-Fi network. I'd never really used it anyway, so I don't really know that what that's all about. I don't know if you've ever used AirTunes before.
No.
Okay, so neither of us know, but apparently now it's called AirPlay, and you can not just you don't just stream your audio now, you can stream video as well. Yeah, that was their announcement. We had iTunes 10. Which he said, it's looking even more sleek and elegant and amazing. And it looks identical. It's just boring as hell. Lists. He was trying to emphasize the fact that now his lists have a couple of bits of album art in there. So whoop-de-doo.
I'm joining the club that's getting repeatedly more hacked off with iTunes.
It's
rubbish.
It's trying to do too many things. It's the central hub of everything they do, but it's clunky. I've turned off automatic syncing now just to try and keep it responsive when you first load it up. It's getting a bit.
It has gone poo. Having said that,
I still use it every day.
Well, you need to.
I don't have a choice, do I? But yeah, it still does all my podcasts and things like that.
Yeah.
I guess their big announcement, other than the fact they've got a new icon for it, they announced Ping, which is going to be their social network. So another thing to bloat out the bit of software. Imagine your Facebook stream, but the only bits of stream information you put in it are about music, to do with music, about going to see gigs, about your purchases, and about your comments on music. And that's it, really.
Is it only for music, or does it include things like apps?
Didn't mention anything about apps that I can remember.
I'm just thinking it would be nice, you know, if they were going to do it just for music, I would have thought they'd done it for video and maybe for apps as well. So you can like, Ian's bought Angry Birds, and everybody else will.
From what I've seen, he was just only talking about music. He was talking about music and artists. So I don't know.
Fair enough. So can I hook into, if I'm already like following you on Facebook, can I connect via Facebook, or is this a brand new social network that I need to follow new people on?
You have to restart all your following, as far as I can tell. Aye. You have to sort of sign up to it. He was saying how it's going to be a popular one, obviously, because they've got 150 odd million users straight out of the box.
But it's just Last.fm.
Yes. And it's, you know, like, it's up to you whether you choose to let people follow you or not and see what you're doing. It's one thing it does, and I guess they're hoping it does it very well, but it doesn't seem that compelling to me. it's another thing that they kind of, I guess, just done because they can.
Or they have to.
Maybe. Maybe it just opens up avenues that they can investigate further going down the line. Certainly gets them a lot of information from users, doesn't it?
So was there one more thing?
There was, which was their Apple TV, which wasn't really a surprising one more thing. And not mentioned as iTV, interestingly enough. So that they're clearly not willing to fight that battle.
In your face.
yeah. iTV is the only good thing they've done recently, isn't it? so they basically came on stage and showed the new box that will be the new Apple TV. And it is tiny. The old box is small, but this one is sits in the palm of your hand, pretty much that kind of size.
So I wouldn't know. You being one of the 9 people in the UK that have an Apple TV, you'd be able to confirm the size for me. For me, it's just a mythical device.
So it's kind of, I guess the current one is just about, I'm not even going to guess, about 1.5 times the size of a CD box. There you go. And the new one is
it's a slightly thinner
box.
Mac Mini.
That basically, yes, probably about the same size as the new Mac Mini, actually.
Mm.
That kind of form factor. But yeah, the new one is tiny, and it's tiny because really all it is a box to interface with your TV. It outputs an HDMI signal. It takes in a power cord, and the power cord doesn't even have a brick attached to it. So it's ultra sleek.
Oh, really? So it is just that. I mean, I've seen the picture of like it's in his hand.
That's it, and that is all it is, and it sits by your TV. And you can chuck an Ethernet in there, but it does have wireless integrated. And basically, it streams. It only streams. It doesn't store anymore. So whereas my version has a hard disk in it, it does only stream. But it does have the new A4 processor, so it's got a lot more power than the current box, which is woefully underpowered. No real announcements about what we can expect in the UK from him on stage. They were pushing the fact that Netflix in the US was there, and they've got lots of movies and stuff like that on board. And TVs from two of their networks. We don't know what's happening in the UK as far as I can tell.
And I'm seeing from the show notes, movies are looking at $4.99 for a rental, reducing over time, and the TV shows are this 99 cents a pop.
So that, yes, so that's US. So $4.99 at the time that DVDs are released, you can also rent via Apple TV, say $5. But I think that equates to about £4.50, I think I saw somewhere on UK. Because that's another thing that came out of this event, that they're kind of almost one-to-one pricing, dollar to pound, which they haven't ever done before. So the Apple TV is $99 in the US, but is also £99 in the UK. So that is the first time that they've ever...
I think that's the first one-to-one. Everything else is like, there is a slight difference. You know, so the Shuffle's £39 and it was $49. But yeah, $99 and $99.
Yep. Anyway, it's all up on Apple's
website. Although it's it's got the new chip and hence should be a lot faster. No iOS, no App Store.
Nope, not that they mentioned. It's all very. I mean, he made a point of saying he didn't want it to be another computery type device. He literally wanted it to be the interface.
I'm amazed.
Because he says that's what the users want.
I totally disagree. Totally disagree. Well, I just as soon as you read about an app store and you think about the games that you're playing on your iPhone and iPad now, and I just think, you know, why not on an Apple TV? Just seems such a no-brain move to then have a games console sitting there.
It could be just to try and differentiate themselves from, you know, their own products, so they're differentiating from, you know, the Mac Mini.
It's still a hobby, isn't it? That's what it feels like. It just feels like a kind of...
But it is a hobby that could now take off because it is in a price region. The old box was, what, £239, £249?
Oh, I mean, this is a throwaway. I mean, everybody's talking about the Kindle being a throwaway purchase price. So is this. It's down at the price where it's...
Why the heck not? You could, you know, accidentally press buy on it and wouldn't feel the pain too much.
Yeah. Well, I've just bought a set of scales that cost more than this. But we'll keep that for next week's podcast.
Yeah. Keep an eye out for his Twitter stream.
Ian is fat. I'll just default to Ian is fat.
Now it does seem. Yeah. We'll save it for next week. Right. And then right at the end, they got Chris Martin from Coldplay singing songs quite badly. And then that's the point I gave up. So if there was an announcement after his halfway through his first song, I have no idea, because that's when I cried enough.
So it's maybe unfair because you've got an Apple TV. I know maybe you didn't buy it, but would you buy one of these?
I wouldn't mind someone buying it for me.
No shit, no, but, a lot.
I mean, say I didn't. I don't find the existing one, you know, a massively compelling device. It's okay.
You know, I would quite like a Porsche, as long as somebody else bought me a Porsche.
I think it's at a price point now where, if I didn't have one already, you know, again, like I say, I don't think it would. You know, I can see myself accidentally having bought one of an evening.
I'm on the site just now, and I can just see the kind of same old. I just don't like the front end that they have on it.
No, I mean,
and like, I want to understand more what can be streamed. You know, so is it only going to stream in the kind of, you know, it won't stream like MKVs, for example.
No, I would imagine the way you've got to look at it is if it plays in iTunes, then the chances are it'll play in on the TV. But that's your interface and that's your way in, and therefore that's the Apple way, isn't it? Our way or the highway.
Yeah, I mean it's like all these devices, I guess. You know, like if you look back to 360 and PS3, it was much the same, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
As long as you have it in the right format, it'll play. Interesting. Well, I think for me the big exciting thing, the iPod Touch looks an absolute winner.
I think so. Yeah,
£190 for an 8 gig version of like an iPhone.
It's an amazing device. I mean, it's got all the gyros in there as well.
Even 250 quid for the 32 gig version. I've just spent £600 for the phone.
Exactly. So that how much extra do you get in the phone?
Feel that sting. You know,
couple more antennas and
a few drop calls.
So it does seem like awfully good value, and maybe this points to the phone coming down in price at some point. Maybe.
I'm still not convinced about Apple TV, and I must admit, really looking forward to getting the 4.2 for the iPad.
November.
And I use the iPad a lot more than Shaq, but it would be interesting if Shaq had showed up, and he's maybe a bit more negative about it now. And it would be nice to just get that balance and why he's maybe got some issues with it. But 4.2 for the just for the multitasking stuff would be great. Good.
Hi.
So moving on.
Another keynote when I said I never would again.
Yeah, I'm just pleased you watched it and not me after your declaration. Never again! Never again will I watch one of your keynotes, damn you!
Whoops.
Well, you have turned into a fanboy. You've bought a Mac. You've got an Apple TV, and you're now watching every keynote like your life depends on it.
I feel myself getting...
Go on, you know, deny it, fanboy.
Sucked into the black hole.
Drip. Drip. So I'm just realising that I said I would host, so I really need to do the moving on. So moving on, and this is a kind of, I'll try and be quick. I have a Mac Mini sitting under my TV, and I guess that's my Apple TV. And I use an app called Plex. That's what I watch all my acquired media.
Acquired counts as purchased and other methods, doesn't it?
Purchased and, well, I pay for the newsgroup access. Does that mean it's purchased? Anyway, the big news is that Plex 9's out. And Plex 9, it's on the surface, looks very similar, but they've strategically moved away the kind of library management side. And you've now basically got two halves of it. You've got the kind of the back end library, and you've got a front end like playback side. And the nice thing about that is it means you can have one library. I can have one machine, and I could have a whole load of different Plexis around the house if I wanted, for example, all playing off that one library. It also means as I add content to the library, it takes care of scanning it, going away and getting the metadata, storing it in there, and Plex doesn't need to be running. So every time I launch Plex, it's up to date. So version 9 came out yesterday, threw it on, the web server was getting absolutely hammered, threw it on, and some of it didn't work, and the TV side didn't work very well, but it turns out that the reason it didn't was the amount of people that downloaded it and then were hammering one of the websites that they used to get all their information, it just killed that website. So that website is now saying, we need to throttle you back, we just can't cope with the bandwidth. But I must admit, the actual movie scraping worked incredibly well, so much better than the previous version. and I'm loving the way the library works now. And it even handles, like, you know, if your video is on an external drive, if you removed it before and then you did a rescan, it would just delete it because it says, oh, these things aren't here anymore, so they've obviously gone. But it now understands it's on a device that could be unplugged, and it now just says, well, it's now offline rather than being deleted. So I just think this is a really great way for, a great move for Plex. Already my playback device of choice. They've also brought out an app for iOS, which isn't free, $2.99 in the UK. Firstly, it acts as a remote, and there's already other remote options that I've mentioned before, but that seemed to work well yesterday, although I think I prefer Romote. There's just some things about it that were a bit clunky. But secondly, it acts as a player, so I can be watching content on my Mac Mini, and if I'm getting a bit tired, want to go to bed, I can pause, go to bed, fire up the iPad and resume. And that's really quite nice.
And that was one of the Apple selling points today about the iPad the other way around. You know, watching it on your iPad out the bout.
Yeah.
Watch it on Apple TV. So it's amazing. You know, you can do all these things if you get the right, is, you know, the right bit of kit.
And this is the thing. I mean, it's like Plex is working really well. I don't need to worry about, you know, what format. I've got my own library. It's not streamed. It's all there. I can stream it over my broadband connection if I want to anywhere I am. But I have to pay extra for that. You know, so I've had to pay for the Mac Mini. It's not £99, but I'm in control. I can put on the software I want to put on.
Is Plex the one that's based on Media Center, is that?
Yeah. So it's based on Xbox Media Center.
So it's got a pretty good, you know, it can understand most video formats.
Oh, yeah. And it's also, this version's also got some hardware acceleration for video playback as well. And I've got to be honest, I never really had an issue. You know, it plays 1080p without dropping a frame. It works really well. But it's nice to see that I think they're architecturally thinking about how they can move things forward. And I think over time, because some of these scanners that go and grab the metadata now, it used to just be you had to pick one and that was it. You can now pick a priority one and then a secondary and third. So if it doesn't find much information, it goes to the next one, goes to the next one. So they're actually using like Wikipedia for a lot of their content now as well. And also it was always very clunky to set up. To go and add your movies, you had to go to watch videos, and then you went to this kind of hooky bit where you actually said, well, here's where my movies sit and here's where my music sits. And for a user coming in, you had to go and read the wiki to understand how to first of all set it up. Now you install it, it says, please tell me your movies are, please tell me where your TV shows are, tell us where your music is, and here's some plugins we recommend. Will we now install? Goes away and does that, and then it says, I'm scanning. You can launch or you can wait till we're done. When all that's done, you fire it up and it's just all there. And it's,
do you need slicker. To still rename everything to a special format, or is it now clever enough to work it out?
I guess that the previous version you did, there was recommended formats. So it was like movie title, space, bracket, year name, close bracket. And if you kept it to that format, it worked. And it's the same, especially more with the TV shows. You know, so you were looking for, you know, if you like Christmas specials and other things like that, you had to call season zero. There was just certain things that you had to do. But as I said, because it was already done, maybe I was just a bit fortunate that I had already a well-named library. But I was very, very pleased with this coming out. It made me very happy. And I think, and it's funny, I said to Shaq the day, see if an Apple TV comes out and it's got an actual app store, I can see me buying one as well, just to get the actual apps. And the fact it's not getting any apps, I just think, well, I've got no reason to go and buy one.
No, it won't be offering you any more.
No. There you go. I've decided not to buy something from Apple. moving on to anything but Apple. Dig. Dig's a very well-known website. I've got to be honest, I've stopped using it a long time ago for me.
Until you sort of said that they'd changed something, I guess that's why they've changed it, because no one's using it anymore. It used to be an amazing discovery website.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know if it's Twitter overtaken it, because so much of the websites I now discover is either Google Reader or Twitter. And maybe I'm just comfortable that I've got so many sources that I trust and I seem to get it. I guess I'm plugged into so many of these things now, you get it no matter where you go. If something's really important, I mean, in some ways I could probably do without Google Reader. It will float to the top. You will find out about it if you follow the right people on Twitter. You will get to see these things. So Dig launched an update. And it's more social based. So instead of getting sites recommended by the whole community, you're getting first of all, you get sites recommended by the people you follow. So I guess in some ways it's bringing in a kind of Twittery Facebook type thing where you're, you know, I could be following you, I could be following Shaq, I could be following Henry. And as you recommend things, these are the things that are pointed out to me first, and I can like them or dig them. You can still see the kind of traditional side as well. You can still go in and see what are the things that most people are currently digging. And actually, the first few times I used it, I thought it is actually a bit more relevant. But then maybe I need to go and follow more people, because I was just getting the stories. They were actually, I mean, straight away, if you only follow, I was only following maybe 14, 16 people. You only got each story that they dug.
And because I would say it's going to be fairly limited after a while. Yeah,
and because some of the people were actual things like Engadget, it was basically every Engadget story was just appearing.
so it's just another way for them to feed out their stories.
Yeah, and one of the things I've done is they've made it a lot easier for you as a user on Digg to share your content. So I've authenticated our Digital Outbox RSS feed, for example, and as we post up, I can just throw it out there and we can dig it. But it just all felt a bit forced and not very, and I know there was always a thing about the Digg previously, it was controlled by a group of maybe 15-20 users who dug each other's stories up, and they're the ones that always bubbled up, and there was a race to get, you know, to be the most, you're one of the guys that can get a story up there, and where people getting bought to go and, you know, get stories
promoted. Yeah, that's
what
it started getting a bit controversial, didn't it? Because there was allegations of money going around. And
so my first view was, this actually looks not bad. But the actual hardcore users hate it. They absolutely hate it. And they're revolting against it. So each day this week, on one of the days, they made sure all the stories that were the top digs were from Reddit, which is the kind of dig rival. One of the other days, they'd made sure every top story was from Mashable. The previous to that, they'd made sure every top story was in Gadget. And they're just,
what it seems like, Digg have realised that they were running out of steam. You're seeing users drop off. You've got to figure out a way of
and the traffic still. I mean, I think they were talking about they're still getting about 30 million uniques a month. I mean, traffic is still massive, but it's tailing off.
Not like it was, yeah. So they're trying to do something, but what they have done is that they've also got a reducing user base, and they've peeved off the people that are their core users, which.
Yes.
And when people on the internet get something in their bonnet, they seem to, you know, go to the nth degree. So it's probably going to accelerate their downturn now.
Well, if you think about when people have been against Facebook changes, but people generally can't affect my Facebook stream, whereas for Digg, where it's all socially, it should all be in control of the users. So the mob should be able to control it, and that's what they're doing right now.
Yep.
So I think difficult times. I think the changes are potentially very good, but I just think people get their news elsewhere now.
For me, the strength of something like a site like Digg is when you hear about things that are outside of your social sphere, you know, different things, you know, news articles that you would never have come across because you're, you know, none of your friends would have looked in that direction. So for me, that's where the strength lies, and with it coming always inside your social, you know. I mean, it's the same for everything, you know. Put it inside the social area and you only hear things that your friends are saying. You don't ever hear that outside nugget of information.
Indeed.
So for me, I think it's I don't like the change, but it's not as if I'm going to revolt because I don't visit the site anyway.
Fantastic. right, the next are a batch of Google stories, because as usual, Google have released lots of updates. So firstly, Google Voice is now integrated into Gmail, which you've just tried tonight.
Yeah, so I loaded up my Gmail, installed a little plugin, tried to ring someone and couldn't. It said I can't connect your call. So I don't think it's supposed to be in the UK at the moment, but it did install it. It felt pretty straightforward. And just generally the idea is now you can make video calls and phone calls straight from your browser, which is, again, it's pretty clever stuff.
No, it's very clever. Another change that they've done this week to Gmail is launched something called Priority Inbox,
which looks intriguing.
Yes, so I've got to be honest, I don't get the volume of mail that would require it. If I'm being perfectly honest, but basically what you do is once you enable it, high priority mails are sorted first. So you get a box at the top with high priority mails, and there's a middle section that shows your starred mails, and then all of the mail is displayed below. it should get, and it's one of these things, it's because it's all algorithmically based, it should get better over time. If things are marked incorrectly, you can change it. So if something's marked as a priority and it's not, you can unmark, or you can move it down, and vice versa.
But basically, I mean, they work it out based on sort of how often the emails come in. Whether you reply to someone is an important one. If you reply to an email, then it will automatically move it as higher priority. But basically, it's just spam detection, just with multiple levels, effectively. Yes. You know, the realization that spam isn't just a binary thing.
But if you are one
of
these people,
you get emails that you like but aren't important.
Yeah, but if you are one of these email people getting like 200-300 emails a day, and certainly my work email account could do with something like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my work one at the moment, I'm just, after being off for 2 weeks, I'm just fighting a constant tide of not getting out of unread mail.
Being able to
do what I need to do day to day and clear the mail is becoming difficult. So something like this, where it would float out, by the way, don't ignore this, would be very handy.
No, I like the direction of it. I like the fact that it's, you know, it's done on algorithms, so it's not, you know, there's nothing weird about it. It's just I think it's a good idea. I think it'll catch on.
More than a little niggle. And that's what I put in the bottom. There's more and more getting added to Gmail. There's tasks in there. There's a whole load of stuff. And is it going to turn into Outlook one day? Is people going to load it up and go, what's going on?
But I think that's what they want. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I mean,
but the nice thing about Gmail at the start was it was just, here's a massive bidding box, manage your mail, crack on. And it was just mail, and it worked really quickly, and it still does work quick. But I mean, Buzz,
I don't think
for example,
you can moan about it being quick. I think it's ultra quick.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's certainly it's not as quick as it used to be, because it's loading in Buzz and loading a whole lot of other things that. And I know you can turn off Buzz. I mean, Buzz is just going to be the next failure, I think. It's going to go the way of
waves. I was surprised to still see it there. I've not come across it. I haven't touched it in.
I tried to use it for the first few days, and it's like this isn't going to work. So that was Priority Inbox. Two more quickies. They launched a free UK movie service via YouTube. So there's a selection of Bollywood, action, horror, comedy and animated films for unlimited free streaming over the web and mobile phones. So they reckon there's about...
Read into that films that you've never heard of.
Well, there's about 400 films. And I've just listed this off the actual Wired article. While the catalogue isn't exactly sparkling, there are a few hidden gems in amongst the muck. There are plenty
like
of Jackie Chan movies, Google's own Life in a Day project, Fritz Lang's 1927 sci-fi masterpiece Metropolis, and, hold on to your hats, the original Heidi.
Brilliant.
I can see you watching that.
I didn't realise that Google had already released their Life in a Day. I mean, that's pretty quick. I assumed it would take longer than that.
I don't think they have released it. I think that's just a... I think you
it's
can maybe see
come.
Some of the... Yeah. But...
Hey, well, it looks like a good... You know, again, they're trying to expand YouTube a bit, aren't they? So, yeah, like the idea. Not going to moan at free things.
Well, it's...
I wouldn't even moan if they charged me for watching a video on it.
I mean, the interesting thing about all this, and there's been a lot of talk about this week, but Apple TV, YouTube, there's also been lots of rumours about trying to get Hollywood movies and actually turn it into a streaming service. Amazon are wanting to get into video streaming, and I think it's all about breaking down, and it's all, when you read an American article, it's all talk about cable, but I mean, for me, paying my £70 a month to Sky, it's just getting to the point. I could just
you could buy a lot of stuff for 70 quid if like in America, if they're 99 cents a TV show, you know, that do you watch 70 shows a month? It's
no,
hard to know, really.
No, and that's the thing. And initially it sounds costly, but then what do you actually watch? And it's the same, I mean, it's like I do like my Sky Sports, but a lot of the time I'm watching it because it's there. You know, so would I have watched Andy Murray tonight? Yeah. Would I have paid 99 cents to watch his match? Maybe. No, that's the kind of thing. Would you pay?
But if you
for
actually analyse how much you watch the TV, you've probably paid a lot more than that for
exactly.
watching that game.
Exactly, and that's the scary thing.
Yeah.
That's a scary thing. But there's no other choice. At the moment, I don't have a choice.
No.
Except, I think that more and more you can get it online, but generally the ones online, it is paying, like, you know, it's paying buttons for a really poor quality stream.
Yeah.
And it's illegal.
Yeah. So I think a lot of these companies, what they're doing is they're putting in place platforms. And these platforms are delivering what they can deliver, which is not a lot at the moment, until the studios come on board. But they want to have a platform there ready for the day that the studios suddenly realise that, hey, we can sell more this way.
Yes. I think it is all betting in the future. Yep. And for all the kind of time that they've been trying to do something, nobody's still come out with a service that's kind of broken the monopolies. You know, there's just nothing there yet. Final Google product is Google Real Time, which was taking when they started allowing for searching of like Twitter streams and stuff like that. So it's taking that out onto a separate page now.
Yeah, in effect, I mean, we've seen this before and we've talked about it before because we talked about it pre beta really, but now it's officially out in the wild and you can actually click on a link on the left hand side of search results now, and it gives you the timeline of when the buzz was happening and all those kind of things. So it's just a step on from where they were before with it, really.
Yeah, I was just done a search for Apple TV just now, and obviously there are hundreds of tweets.
Yeah,
and it just refreshes as you don't need to do anything.
Yeah,
it just refreshes, and then I can. What's quite nice is I can then just click on the time and around the keynote, and I can see what everybody's tweeting around the keynote.
Yeah, so it stores when things were said as well, which is obviously important in the real time nature of it. But yeah, so we've seen it before, but it's just now out in beta.
Yes. So to round off our podcast, there are three game stories. The first one, which is kind of bizarre, is that UK is getting a TV games channel in November.
I don't know why this one makes me just cringe a little, because I can just already see it, I think.
Yes, so the team behind Bravo Team TV show Game Face, which I've never seen.
No.
Plan to launch their new UK channel dedicated entirely to games reviews this November. It'll be in satellite and cable, and they're seemingly targeting light gamers.
Yeah, again, read just, I don't know, just horrible articles. I don't know.
Exactly. It will cover and rate new releases, but will in time expand to include documentaries looking at celebrities and gaming. This to me has got fail written all over it.
Yeah, especially when websites like Eurogamer and GameSpot, they do a really good job of
exactly of
reviews. I mean, okay, they're also cringesome as well, but they know what they're talking about.
But there was a games channel. And I'm trying to remember what it was, and they were doing like reviews and stuff like that, but they were also doing competitive leagues.
Right, and I bet it looked like a...
It was about a year or two ago. And then it ended up just turning into one of these babe channels, which was far more interesting, to be honest.
Yeah.
But
it makes me cringe all over. I hate to think about the kind of people they're going to have on it, especially if they're catering for the lowest common denominator. Easy for me to say.
I'm still amazed, but there's so much, or the games market in general is unrepresented in UK TV,
and misunderstood as well.
Yeah, but there's just nothing on any of the main channels. The only time you ever see it is, when there's a shooting somewhere and they blame it on Grand Theft Auto,
yeah, exactly.
Or it's a new console, so it makes the news. Or it's on Click to talk about how gamers are doing something different.
For one of the major entertainment channels, it's massively undercovered, and it's a massive thing. I think it's sort of 30 something males, isn't it?
We have grown up with it, So,
yeah.
I guess when we were young, it was always like sneered at as a kid's thing. But we've grown up with it. We're still doing it,
it's a hugely profitable industry. I mean, I know that some of the industry's hurting now, but there's a lot of money sloshing around in it. It costs a lot of money to develop, which is part of the problem at the moment.
Speaking of money, Xbox Live prices to increase.
Yeah.
I could not believe this when I read this.
I was worried.
So was I. So Major Nelson, whatever his name is in real life, but he's like the kind of blogger and mouthpiece of Microsoft. And the way I saw it was I follow him on Twitter, and he put up a tweet and said, comment on my website so we can monitor your reaction, and put a link. didn't say anything about, by the way, it's a price rise. Clicked on the link, and sure enough, in the US, monthly, I think it's monthly, quarterly, and 12-month prices have gone up. But in the UK and Canada, it's just monthly prices. The actual yearly prices are still the same.
Yeah, so far is what I say to that.
But it's gone up £1 a month. You know, it's gone up quite a jump. It's up, that's 20% rise, 25% rise. So if
you're someone at uni maybe coming back, you know, to and want to have a Xbox Live account for a few months while you're on holiday or whatever, yeah, it's going to cost you more to do that.
I'm just very surprised. And so the reaction was very negative in America, where it's gone up to $60 a year.
Yes. It's, thing is, the service is amazingly good value, really, for what you get and what you do with it. Mm. But nevertheless, it, no one ever likes a price hike, especially.
No. Especially when you get nothing. There's nothing in return. I mean, they've added a whole load of services that I just don't use. They added Twitter, they added LastFM, they added Facebook, and it's just...
Yes, it's adding stuff really again. Using that you, these? It's all guff, as I would say, isn't it? It's not.
You know, and if that's what the knock-on is...
Yeah, I'd rather see the prices stay the same and some of that stuff go. I mean, when you get things like Sky on board, you know that there's issues around cost and stuff.
Exactly. So it's disappointing to see. And I don't know how you feel. I think next year they'll just bump up the 12-month price.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is a step for us because we're already quite high anyway. But yeah, I absolutely see this as a start of them bumping prices. And, can you know, not just once. I think we'll see a general increase. I don't know how much I'd be prepared to pay. I guess a fair amount because I like the service. But I haven't used it much recently, so maybe not.
Well, I haven't used it much recently, but then we are coming into golden territory.
Absolutely.
You know, from basically 2 weeks from now, probably until the run up to Christmas, there's probably a good game every couple of weeks.
No more podcasts.
Way!
Sorry, we're gaming.
And our final game story, I'll hand to you.
Oh, yeah. So, again, we keep talking about this week in, week out. It shows I'm getting a bit excited about it. But Portal, they just showed some co-op stuff. So, basically, some videos of how co-op might work. And I hadn't even thought about that angle of it before. But, yeah, two people working in chambers to try and work things out. It's again, it was very clever. And it's another level to their... ever-increasing excitedness.
It's not just that. I saw how devious some of the levels have now got. There was a video of how to solve one of the levels, and I was like, I wouldn't have figured that out.
There you go. And so, yeah, and to the amount of combinations of things you can do with two people in a room together, it must be mind-boggling. There you go. So, again, can't wait. September, whatever it was.
Instantly thought two girls, one cup.
Oh, God. I hope we're not going to do that with portal guns.
Don't Google it.
No. Don't do it. You'll never be the same again.
No. Moving on to our picks. I'll rattle through mine first. Mine is just, we've mentioned HTML5 a number of times. Google have tied up with Arcade Fire and a video artist called Chris Milk, and produced a video showcasing HTML5 and its potential. So if you visit thewildernessdowntown.com, it's actually very processor intensive. It does warn you, you know, shut everything down, shut down other browsers, shut down other tabs. You then put in your postcode and it starts playing a video, and then it's just a pretty amazing 5-minute demo of what is possible just from your browser. And I'll leave it at that because I don't want to say anymore. Just
okay, take it. So what's the address?
It's thewildernessdowntown.com.
Okay.
And it's in the show notes as well. Chris, okay. Your pick.
My pick this week is I've been playing Risk Factions on Xbox Live Arcade. Ooh. So basically it is the game of Risk done on the arcade, and I've been having quite a lot of fun playing it. I mean, I'm not a big Risk aficionado.
Does it let you do multiplayer?
I would imagine so. I don't have any friends online at the moment to find out. But so I've just been playing through their campaign mode, and I say I'm learning the game as much as anything because I don't play it on as a board game. But they've added some tweaks in there for. And basically, it's a really what feels like a super speedy way of playing Risk, and it's been fun, and they've presented it very well. It's done by EA.
Well, I know EA brought Risk out on the iPhone, I think, three or 4 weeks ago, and I've been playing a kind of rip-off version on the iPad called Conquest, and I've been really, really enjoying it. And it's not multiplayer, it's just against bots, but it still plays a pretty good game. So, I might see you online then for that one.
Yeah, we'll have to see whether we can dig that out. I mean, I can't guarantee it, but I imagine it's Xbox Live Arcade, of course, it's going to be online.
Well, Windows Phone 7. No, that was last week. That's nasty.
Yeah. The less we talk about that, the better. But anyway, so it's good fun.
Thanks for your pick. And that's us done. If you want to find out more about us, our website is digitaloutbox.com, and we'd love to hear an email, love to get an email even, info@digitaloutbox.com, and we're on Skype and Twitter as Digital Outbox. If you're looking for me, my blog is END.net, and my Twitter is Shweepa. Chris, what about you?
Twitter, CheesyUK.
And that was all. Thanks again for listening. Tune in next week. Goodbye.
See you later. Bye. Yes, my MacBook is actually making though fan noises, which appear to be being picked up by my microphone, so I hope all of that wasn't in vain.
Oh, I hope not. I'm sure there's some daft low frequency thing that I can do, which will not only make you sound much better, but cut out the fan noise.